Hey, campfire crew, let's get it on.
Creepy Carpet Cleaners by Ninjin's Friend. My mom's dog, Punky, rest in peace, was a very sweet, loving dog. She was an ESA dog, but trained to be a service dog for PTSD before she lost her leg. I had never seen her get aggressive with anyone in the entire 12 years she lived. She never growled at or nipped anyone, and she had no sense of smell, so she loved all animals and people. A real gentle giant amongst our little terriers, at 60 pounds. What I'm getting at here was that her barking at something and being aggressive was so wildly uncharacteristic. I only saw it once. I'm a female, and I was 11 years old. I was at home with my siblings, a 2-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl. My then stepdad was at work, and my mom ran up to the gas station to grab a pack of cigarettes. It was maybe only a mile or two away from us. For reference, we lived in a 2-bedroom trailer in the middle of the woods, on a dead-end road at the time, and you really had to make an effort to get down our road, find our house, navigate down our rickety driveway, and then find the door. I was sitting at the computer having a grand time watching YouTube videos, when all of a sudden all of our dogs, 2 Boston Terriers and a Chihuahua, perked up, barked a few times, and then started investigating down the hall. My siblings were napping in the bedroom at the end of the hall at the time, so I figured they'd just stirred and scared the dogs. But then Punky sat up suddenly, stood up on the couch, and puffed her chest out. Her ears were perked up, and her fur was standing on end, her tail straight up. Then she started barking. Loudly. The bark booms through the living room. It echoes around. Then all of a sudden, she lunged off the couch and went tearing down the hallway. I was already on edge because I don't think I had ever heard her bark. Ever. She's a Basenji mix, so her bark is more of a baying sound, but this was a big, loud, alert bark. I stood up and went down the hallway, ready to fight off what I was assuming was a shadow monster in the hallway based on how the dogs were acting. But then I heard it. We didn't get visitors because of how weird our house was location-wise, so my 11-year-old mind had no clue what to do. The only people who showed up were family, and they didn't knock. So I slowly walked towards the door. The knock had drawn the attention of the dogs, and they came running back down the hallway, all except for Punky. And I felt better with our 3 yappy dogs in the room with me, even if they were all the size of a New York City sewer rat. I opened the door just a bit, and standing on our porch was the sketchiest man I think I've ever seen. I can still picture him perfectly. He was really thin, a taller man with dark hair and a sunken face, bags under his eyes and this half-managed hair, sort of like he just gave a quick brush and then figured he was good enough to go. Everything about him seemed just a little too thin, a little too shallow, and his clothes were off too. They were nice, but fake nice, you know? Like a clean, newer-looking t-shirt and new jeans. But he had what looked like a suit jacket on. All of his clothes were dark, too, despite the fact that it was summer in Texas, and the weather was definitely in the hundreds that day. He also had this plain, unlabeled bottle in his hand, and it looked like the label had been covered up and taped over. I stared up at him in confusion because I definitely didn't know this man, so I just asked what he wanted. He smiled at me in this way that was way too fake, like this exaggerated, forced grin. And he spoke in the same voice retail workers do. "Hey there, kiddo. I'm trying to sell this carpet cleaner here." He shook the bottle at me. "Mind if I come in to show you how good it works?" Alarms were going off in my head because he just seemed so off. Looking back with an adult perspective, the fact that he didn't ask if my parents were home is unnerving because he probably knew they weren't, and that's why he was there in the first place. I should have told him to get off our property and that I have to go get my mom, something except what I did say, but I didn't. Instead, I just shook my head and said, "No, we don't have carpet." "Well, it works on other things." And he took a big step towards the door and shook the bottle at me. I started to freak out and thought to close the door. But the thing is, our front door didn't even lock. Small town, hard to access home. I mean, we never needed a lock. So that was basically useless. I was sure there was something very wrong about to happen. And I was terrified, thinking about what to do in the few seconds I had before anything did happen. When all of a sudden, I heard it. Punky had crept up from the hallway, lowered towards the ground with her teeth bared, and snarling like she was feral. She had slobber just dripping from her mouth, her ears were down, and she was ready to pounce. The guy heard it too, and as I looked towards Punky, she tried to lunge past me, and I just barely caught her with my leg as she tried her hardest to duck past me and attack this guy. He freaked out and ran off the porch without another word, booking it down the driveway as I let Punky out along with the rest of our dogs, and they all chased him. Our small dogs chased him down the driveway and stopped about halfway, barking and jumping about. But Punky stopped just on the porch and watched him with her ears perked up, just staring in the distance until he disappeared. I swear I saw someone jump up with him. He was running, and they got onto the road. The second he disappeared, Punky's entire body language changed, and she went back to being the sweet dog I knew. No barking or growling, just laying around, mouth and throat covered in slobber. I realized my siblings were still down the hall, and I ran to check on them. When I got to the bedroom, they were still sleeping soundly. But the bedroom window was wide open, the curtains pushed all to one side, and the items on the dresser in front of the window were all shoved around. Someone had tried to climb through the window, no doubt in my mind about that. From what I can gather, the bedroom window was visible from the couch where Punky was sleeping, so I think someone was trying to climb through the window before Punky went after them and scared them off, and the man at the door was meant to distract me. They definitely didn't expect Punky, a bigger dog, because most of the time she was with my mom inside while our dogs were the ones that saw the public eye more often. I don't know what those guys intended to do, but after my mom got home, she took all of us to my aunt's house, and on our way there we saw the men walking up someone else's driveway. Men plural, because we watched a second one split off to wait by the road. So, to the two men apparently going door to door to sell their unlabeled carpet cleaner, I'd really rather not meet again. I think there was a skinwalker outside my house by Ready Spaghetti. So, for context, every month or so my parents leave to go meet with their friends to play cards. They usually leave around 5 p.m. and come back anywhere from 9 to midnight. They used to call one of my aunts to come watch me. I'm a 13-year-old female, and my little brother is a 10-year-old male, but after I was about 12 and a half, they started leaving me to babysitting my brother for however long they were gone, and in exchange, I would make $20 to $30 each time. So, this is where my story starts. It was around 8:40, and my brother was going to bed, which was a little weird considering he usually stays up past 10 on nights our parents have a card club, but whatever. He went to his room, and I went downstairs to the basement where my computer was. I was just talking to my friends in Discord a little while scrolling through TikTok. Before I knew it, it was almost 9:50. I was just minding my business when I heard my dog starting going absolutely batshit crazy upstairs. I ran up there, but I left my phone downstairs. We have a gate blocking the dog from coming downstairs, so I had to move it aside to get where he was. I saw him standing on sort of this crate that we had to hold his blankets, and he was barking at the open curtain window. I thought there was a person outside, but that's when I heard it. This howling, I mean, barely howling, but it resembled howling. I froze in my tracks. The neighbors across the street have a dog, but this howling was so loud. I mean, it was way too loud to be from anywhere they were. And I noticed something else about it. It sounded the exact same time every time there was a howl. Like there was no difference in the pitch, length, or any fluctuations. So I ran back downstairs to get my phone. I closed the curtains down in my basement. Then I went back upstairs while messaging my friends as to what was happening. I sent them a picture of my dog in the open gate, closed the curtains upstairs, and when I did, the howling stopped, and my dog stopped barking. I didn't have any weapons, and I know there was nothing I could do against whoever or whatever was outside. I'm only 5'4 and weigh about 103 pounds. But there I was, 10:16 p.m., panicking on my couch. My brother's asleep, my mom won't answer her phone, and I'm writing to strangers on Reddit about my experience. What do you guys think about this? Also, I live in Wisconsin. I've never heard of skinwalker sightings here. Have you? Haunted Farmhouse, submitted by Liz V. I didn't believe in ghosts until this experience, but I don't know how else to explain what happened. My grandparents own a farm out on the country that is not lived in most of the year. It's exactly what you'd expect a semi-abandoned farmhouse to be. Gets water from a well, no air conditioning, no Wi-Fi, lots of dust and bugs, super old furniture, and old-timey in general. It is still safe and sturdy, though. When my cousins and I were younger, our extended family would visit the farm every summer. We would explore the woods and dare each other to go into the creepy basement and such. There were more people there than were bedrooms, so my cousin, whom I will refer to as Emma, and I were stuck sleeping on couches. Before I go further into the story, I'll add that the downstairs of the house is very open concept. So, from the couch I was sleeping on in the family room, I had a clear view of the sitting area Emma was sleeping in, the dining room, the front door, and the stairs to the second floor. Emma had a clear view of everything I could see also, aside from the dining room. I was 13 or 14 years old, and Emma is just a little younger than me. It was around 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. when we stopped watching movies and turned out the lights to sleep. Shortly after, in the dark, I saw Emma standing up by her couch. I asked her what she was doing, but then Emma sat up from laying down, saying that she wasn't doing anything. My stomach sank in terror. If Emma was lying down, then she definitely wasn't who was standing. I had no idea what was going on. I knew everyone else was asleep, and all the beds were upstairs, so I would have seen someone come downstairs. And Emma didn't react to the silhouette watching her, so I assumed I was the only one seeing it. Frozen with fear, I managed to tell her, never mind, go back to sleep, not wanting to frighten her. But I was very wide awake. I was watching the silhouette moved smoothly from the sitting room towards the front hallway. I was kind of relieved. Whatever it was gone. But then a trucker drove by the farmhouse on the old country highway about 100 feet away and illuminated the window on the upper part of the front door. This revealed the silhouette again, more specifically revealing that the thing or person or ghost had short, wavy hair. Cue another heart attack on my part. At that point, I refused to look away. It stood there for a few minutes before going up the stairs. My adrenaline was skyrocketing, so I laid there waiting to see if it would come back. After about 20 minutes without the silhouette making an appearance, I started falling in and out of sleep. However, I was jolted awake when my fleeting consciousness caught a glimpse of the silhouette in the dining room. It was just sitting there, at the head of the table, making movements as if it were eating or drinking. Terrified that this thing was no more than 20 feet away from me, I stayed as quiet as possible and had a blanket pulled up as high as it could be, while still allowing me to see. Eventually, sleep must have won, because the next thing I knew, it was daytime. Emma was already awake and walking around, and now that it was daytime and she wasn't trying to sleep, I asked her if she had seen anything weird the night before. My jaw dropped when she nonchalantly said, "Oh, the thing watching me last night?" The thought of that thing being right next to me was horrifying and made me never want to sleep there again. But I explained what I saw and asked why she didn't wake me up. Super casually, she said that she just didn't get bad vibes from it, that she felt it wasn't harmful. Wanting an outsider's opinion on the situation, I went and spoke with my grandma, who grew up in the house. After repeating the story to her, my grandma pushed for more details about how the silhouette looked. Given that it was just a silhouette, all I could say was that it had a slim, short, feminine build with short, wavy hair. My grandma then told me that she believed I had been seeing her deceased mother and was then hoping that she would see her ghost too at some point. Apparently, it was her mother's nightly routine to check on everyone to make sure they were okay and or asleep, before having her nightly cup of chamomile tea to help her sleep. I know that's not a scary ending, but it was so trippy that Emma and I saw the same thing at separate times, and that my experience matched the routine of a woman I've never met or had heard anything about. Aside from group psychosis, I can't think of a way to explain what happened other than my great-grandmother coming to check on the family. And though that's super sweet, I can't help but still find the whole thing a little unnerving. Road Trip Gone Wrong by Ed Zealous Ideal. I was in the United States Air Force, stationed in Omaha in the late 80s. At the time, I hung out with my roommate and another friend. My name is Tracy. My roommate's name was Tracy, and the girl we hung out with was Stacy. When we were together, everyone always thought we were lying, and being the silly teenagers we were, we always found that to be funny. One weekend, we decided to take a road trip to Kansas City, Missouri. We were speeding down the highway, laughing and singing at the tops of our lungs. We were just happy and having the times of our lives. Stacy was driving, and she had a bit of a lead foot. She must have been going too fast, because before long, a state trooper pulled up behind us and turned on his lights. Stacy immediately pulled over. By the time the officer made it to her window, she already had her license and registration in hand, and the window down. The officer looked at her, and then looked at me and Tracy. He then said, "I want you to follow me. Don't try to run off or y'all be going to jail." He then turned, walked back to his car, and got in it. Needless to say, the three of us were puzzled and talked amongst ourselves, wondering why he didn't just take Stacy's identification and write her a ticket. The officer pulled out slowly, and we dropped in behind him and followed him down the road. He drove a few more miles and then exited the highway. He drove a little ways more, and then turned onto a dirt road that was surrounded by stalks of corn. We all stopped talking as we became a little bit more alarmed. However, being young, scared, and since he was a police officer, we continued to follow him. The officer drove for some time down this dirt road, and then pulled into an area that had a big beat-up old barn. As he stopped, we stopped behind him. A group of men with shotguns exited the barn. It wasn't until that point did we realize we were in mortal danger, and panic set in. The officer walked back to our car and told Stacy to get out and follow him to his car. As she got out, she looked at me and Tracy, and there was sheer terror on her face. She followed him to his car, and he motioned her to get into the passenger side, and she did. Tracy and I were crying as the armed men stood on the side of the car looking at us, and we began quietly praying for God to protect the three of us. We prayed that Stacy wasn't being hurt. Somehow they would just let us leave. After some minutes, Stacy bolted out of the officer's car and ran back to our car and jumped into the driver's seat. She was crying hysterically. So of course Tracy and I began crying even harder. The officer got out of his car, walked back to our car, and this time to Tracy's window as she was in the front passenger seat. He asked, "Is it true y'all in the Air Force?" To which Tracy replied, "Yes, sir." The officer calmly said, "Get out of here and go back where all you came from. I better not see y'all again." As soon as he finished, Stacy started the car, whipped it around, and sped back down the dirt road. She somehow navigated back to the highway, and as she drove back toward the base, the silence was only broken by an occasional sob from one of us. Stacy drove for a while, and as soon as we crossed back over into Nebraska, she pulled over on the side of the highway, and then she began to sob heavily. Tracy and I hugged her and asked if she was hurt in any way, and she just shook her head no, she wasn't hurt. And after she calmed down enough, she told us what happened in the police car. After she got in the car, she offered the officer her identification and told him that she was sorry for speeding. He took her information and asked her, "What are you doing with those two N-words?" Stacy was white. She explained that we were all on a road trip, and then he told her that if she would do certain favors for him, he might let us go with a warning. At that point, Stacy had a complete meltdown. I guess while he was waiting for her to calm down, he finally looked at her identification and saw that she had also given him her military ID. He asked if we were all in the military, and between sobs, she said that yes, we were. He asked where we were stationed, and she told him off at Air Force Base. He then told her to go back to her car. As we sat there after Stacy told us what had occurred, I think it hit all three of us at the same time that the only thing that saved us was that we were in the military and stationed at a nearby base. We hugged each other and cried until we could not cry anymore. We didn't report what had happened, and again, we were teenagers and didn't think we would be believed over a law enforcement officer. We never talked about it after that day. This incident has haunted me for years, you know, all of the what-ifs. But as I've gotten older, what haunts me more is the thought that others may not have been as lucky as we were. Haunted Apartment, submitted by Susan F. I was about 11 to 12 years old and living with my grandmother, who raised me. I go by Zombie Girl, a nickname given to me by my friends, mostly because I'm pale. My uncle owned the apartment building, so we lived upstairs. The apartment was cool, and my grandmother gave me the big room for my bedroom, which had an old fireplace and big closet. I got settled and prepared for school the next day. My great uncle helped me get into ROTC, so I had to wake up at 4 a.m. every morning. I should tell you that in this room was a door that was sealed shut. It led to stairs but wouldn't open, so I put my bed next to it, which I would later regret. I got into bed one night to fall asleep, and I heard some hard-soled shoes, like men's dress shoes, coming up the steps. Thinking it was my uncle, I came out of my room to say hi, but when telling my grandmother, she checked the door, but no one was there. At first I was like, whatever, and I went back to bed. The second night, it happened again with the same results. No one there. The third night, however, I told her I was serious, so she checked again. This time, however, the sound of the steps continued. She immediately shut the door while looking at me without saying a word. That night, I moved my bed across the room. My closet was haunted too, and we had other scary things that happened, but I'll leave those stories for you to read at a later time. I Escaped a Fake Deliverer by K2 Coma. Hey, I'm Maddie, and I'm 16 years old. I live in Morocco and just lived a creepy event out. I'm so excited to be able to share it. So here's my story. I live in an apartment with my family, and I'm in a period where I need to focus on my final exams. Today, as usual, I was sick, so I didn't go to school. I used this free time to practice more for the upcoming tests. But around approximately 8 p.m., my father called me and suggested that I get a car in order to spend time with each other. My parents are divorced, so when I'm with my mother, I see him less than my mother. I was with my father for like 30 minutes, and it was nice. We arrived in front of the building where I lived with my mother, and I said goodbye to him, and I went towards the building. I pushed the button of the intercom so that my mother could open the door, and then I saw a food deliverer with his motorcycle parked right next to me. Here comes the problem. I thought that he was going to deliver something to a neighbor. Nothing unusual here, but there was just something off. Firstly, usually delivery men in Morocco, and I don't know if that's the case in other countries, they have a box where they store the food in order to keep it warm. But this guy didn't have one. He was holding the bag with the food in his hand while riding the motorcycle. Also, he opened his phone as if he was going to check a delivering app. But as I said, he didn't have the box or the logo of a delivery... service anywhere on him. So even if my mother unlocked the door, I preferred not to open it and talk to the guy. I order from restaurants and fast food a lot, and I'm used to seeing deliverers and even talk to them a little bit, try to make them laugh. I know it's a hard job because of people being jerks, so I try to be as friendly as possible. So I started with this guy by saying, "Hi, and how are you, bro?" I said it in Moroccan, and the guy was super nice. He had a great smile and a nice way of talking, but he took time before answering me like he was lagging. Okay, that happens. I mean, maybe he was stressed or preoccupied, so nothing to worry about. I asked him what the door number was that he was making the delivery to, and he replied 42, which is odd because the last door of the building is the 14th. So I told him to check his app, and then I tried to watch his phone even though I wasn't right next to him, and instead of opening a delivery app, he opened WhatsApp and didn't even open a chat. Then he said, "Door 11. At that moment, I knew something was wrong because I live at the 12th door, so the 11th is right next to me, and I'm sure that my neighbors weren't the ones to order. They were on a trip. So I got a little stressed and told him that there must be an error because of the reason that I just told everyone here, but he insisted to go in and told me that he used to deliver at this address and that he knows where he needs to go. And he also told me that the customer knows him and he asked him to be quick because he liked his food to be as hot as possible. I clearly said to him that I couldn't let him enter the building, but that I was going to check if the guys on the 11th door were back from their trip, and if so, I would let them know that the delivery person was there. I also told him that the guard of the building was usually in the cafe next door and that he could go talk to him. I kind of lied and told him that my dad was waiting for me and that I just needed to use the double baissé for a sec. The delivery guy was angry at first, but he immediately changed his attitude and became friendly again. I asked him to step aside and then asked my mother again to unlock the door, and then I went in. I was still nervous, and while I was walking towards the elevator, I suddenly got scared because I didn't hear the door close behind me. It felt so dumb because I could have closed it myself. But at that moment, I was sure this man was entering the building. I immediately started running towards the staircase, and at the same time, he tried to throw the bag he was holding at me. I don't know why. Thankfully, he missed. At that moment, I started thinking really quickly. I have Crohn's disease, which is a disease that causes inflammation of the intestines and a lot of pain. But according to my doctor, it also explains why I'm anxious and why I usually think too much. So, I already thought in the past of a scenario where I needed to hide from somebody in the building. I know that's weird, but I've come to the conclusion that the underground parking garage was the best place for me to go. Sorry for my English, by the way. Going there was really largely due to the fact that it was shared by four buildings. So I ran towards the staircase and immediately started going downstairs. Before I continue, I need to say that I'm a pretty tall guy, about 6'3", and it's so difficult for me to hide quickly. So I ran, and I heard this guy chasing me. At that moment, I remembered that the other buildings have their own doors in the parking lot, so I ran towards one of them. I saw someone from a ways away and started screaming, "Hey, call the name of the caretaker of the building, quickly." But the guy didn't react and just entered one of the doors. I went upstairs, opened the door of the building, and entered the bakery just next to it. And luckily, I did find the caretaker, or the concierge. I don't know how to say it in English. I explained to him really quickly what was happening, and he immediately got out of the bakery and started chasing him, but he was too far away and was running towards his motorcycle, so we couldn't catch him. I was tired of all that running, but strangely, I wasn't really shocked. As I'm writing this, I still feel a little bit excited about what happened. Am I weird? I'm definitely not going to tell my parents because otherwise they'll forbid me to go out alone or take a taxi anywhere. I tried to look out for the bag that he tried to throw at me, but it wasn't there when I went back to find it. I know I'm selfish for not calling the police, but I just prefer to not worry about it because honestly, they never do anything anyway. I thought I'd share a personal story with everybody. This is coming after much reflection and thought of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. I know there are a lot of stories out there that deal with lockdowns and creepy things that happen, but I'm telling you this story from my personal perspective, having been through a real lockdown as a teacher, watching over a pretty large classroom of kids. This happened when I was teaching at a school in Northern Virginia. My bride was also teaching in a classroom a little bit way down the hall. One afternoon, we got a call for someone on the campus with a firearm. Now, many of you who are familiar with that area might remember the Manassas sniper who killed about 10 or 12 people, I'd have to go back and check, with a .22 rifle shooting people at the gas station or coming out of stores. That had happened about a year and a half before we actually were there. So you have to understand that tensions were a little bit high when you're not too far from an area where a lot of crazy shit went down, and then the threat of someone being near your campus with a possible firearm. The hardest thing about being a teacher is getting the kids to understand that this is not a joke. Of course, we did training throughout the year and there were always drills. But when it comes down that this is a serious threat and you have to cover the windows of your classroom door, make sure your doors are locked. Make sure all of the students are away from the door. And thankfully, the lab that I worked in had a lot of space. The only thing that scared the shit out of me at the time was, number one, I had no idea what was happening with my bride and her class. Number two, I had a second door entry to my classroom. It is terrifying to not know what's going on. And the kids felt it as well. I still talk to a number of my former students, and every once in a while they'll bring that up about that day. I cannot tell you how intense and terrifying it is to go through something like that, not knowing if whoever is grabbing the handle for the door entry to your classroom is an administrator to give you the all clear, or if it's something else. So for about an hour and change, we sat there, waiting, not knowing what was happening, to see the looks on the faces of kids who are 14 to 17 years old, who have been through enough shit in their life. You know, they also, you know, remembered all the atrocities of, you know, 9/11. And also living in fear of this other maniac that was running around their town shooting people. That has got to be one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. And, oh boy, when we finally got the all clear that everything was okay, school buses home were delayed, it ended up being a kid who had been kicked out of school, who showed up with a very convincingly looking paintball gun. I don't know what's going on right now, but we need to just do what I always say at the end of every episode. So that's how I'm going to end this one right now. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Uncle Josh's True Scary Stories. If you have a true scary story of any nature that you would like to hear narrated on my channel, email UncleJoshTrueScaryStories@gmail.com. I read them all. Please like, share, and subscribe to my channel if you haven't already. Hit the little notification bell so that you know every time that I upload, and I promise I will upload more. It's just been a little crazy right now with work and home. Follow me on social media. All the links to that are in the description below. And everyone, be excellent to each other. Take care of one another. Listen to one another. And until next time, be wary of things that go bump in the night. It could be anything. A ghost, a monster, and God forbid, the guy next door. To end this episode on a high note, as I am wont to do, I thought I would share a really cool track from a guy I know here in the Buffalo area. Awesome dude, very talented musician. It's from his latest project, the Bob Malucci Project, from an album called Sunset Love Is Gone. It's a track called Crooked and Straight, which I really dig, and thought I would share that with you guys. Check him out on Bandcamp, you know, do the Google search, find him out. Download and share it if you can, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Until next time, everybody, take care.
Just dream of home and think of me.